The first thing I realized is that the conventional education system doesn't actually teach us the skills of relating, which is kind of, you know, woefully sad.
Unconventional Life, the show where I interview successful entrepreneurs, artists, creatives, and thought leaders on how they earn their living in non-traditional ways. We will explore how they took the path less traveled, what their revenue model looks like, and why they are prioritizing their passion over their paycheck. I'm your host, Joel Schroeder.
Unconventional Life, welcome. This is your host, Joel Schroeder, tuning in today from Boulder, Colorado. Today's guest is joining me from New York. In New York, I have got Monica Parikh in the house. Monica, are you ready to take us down the path less traveled?
I am so ready. I have been walking the road less traveled for quite some time. So let's take everybody on this trip with us.
Yeah, really excited to dive in with you. Unconventional Lifers, she has got quite a story, you know, literally so many years ago, you know, leaving this like law career, you know, 11 years ago, having it all, this terrific husband, beautiful home. And then, you know, one day your husband says he doesn't want to be married, walks out the door, and that catalyzes this whole business. And, you know, since you have founded this school, the School of Love, New York City, which teaches a global audience about love, psychology, and higher consciousness. And I know, you know, you've been a lawyer, you had a really successful law practice, a teacher, a writer, a public speaker, and you've been able to use psychology and spirituality along with nonviolent communication and quantum physics to really give clients practical skills and emotional intelligence in building healthy relationships with on the landscape we're in right now. Like, how can you not have those tools? And I love the way that you're incorporating it all. And I know you've written for Mind Body Green, Bustle, you've worked with really high net worth clients and individuals all over the world. Unconventional Lifers, we've got a great giveaway for you coming up later in the end of the show about that as well. But I know there's so much we can dive into here, particularly about how you've made your transition and then really what you're standing for in the world with your work. So welcome to the show. Fill in any gaps that I might have left out and give us a glimpse into your personal life.
Sure. So, you know, basically, Jules, exactly like you said, I went through a traumatic divorce 11 years ago. It was really out of the blue and unexpected. My ex-husband said he didn't want to be married anymore, and he walked out the door, and I never saw him again after a decade. Wow. So that was such a mind bomb. I mean, that's really the only way you can put it, right? It's like basically this bomb detonates in your brain. But what happened after that was, you know, so many things happened. You know, the first thing I started doing was studying psychology. So I started studying psychology, you know, obviously with myself as the main patient in analysis with a psychotherapist. But at the same time, I started dating prolifically. In New York City, I was dating, you know, celebrities, sports stars, CEOs, and just keeping an Excel spreadsheet and saying like, why did I fail was the first question. And then I started asking, why are relationships generally failing? You know, without getting into too much statistical data, you know, more than 50% of people get divorced. And of those that stay together, 7 out of 10 report being unhappy. So I said, okay, well, we have actually a problem. And if that problem got fixed, how would you fix it? And so then from there, you know, I spent basically a decade not only studying very high level psychology, but combining other skill sets I had. I was a trained mediator. I started studying nonviolent communication and quantum physics and saying, and also, of course, with my law background, you know, how would you create a modern marriage between two conscious people who were really purpose-driven to actually fix a societal problem? And so that's kind of like where my inquiry started. And I just, you know, have been geeking out over here for like the last 10 years on it.
Yeah. And no small question, right, to set out to answer, right? And, you know, I think that a lot of the listeners too, and, you know, have come from a lot of broken systems and broken models or models just that aren't as effective as they once were. And I think relationships, emotional intelligence, very much being one. And, you know, I'm curious in your research and really over the last 11 years, what are some of the things you found that really surprised you or weren't as obvious, or some of the things that were actually so obvious? You're like, how are we not linking these two things up?
Wow, what a great question. Well, I think the first thing that I learned, you know, and I'm saying this as a person who's pretty educated, right? Like I went to an Ivy League law school and, you know, dotted all my I's and crossed all my T's. And I guess the first thing I realized is that the conventional education system doesn't actually teach us the skills of relating, which is kind of, you know, woefully sad because a lot of the skills of relating are actually also the skills for dealing with anxiety and depression and living like a life that's very fulfilling. So you would think that that would be somewhere in our, you know, curriculum, and it's not. So that was the first place that I guess shocked me. You know, the second place that I just kind of recognized in myself, and I was a good test case because I had practiced law for 20 years, and really had a stellar career in terms of advocating for my clients and consistently getting the results that I had set out to get. But in my own personal life, I found that I didn't have as strong of boundaries, you know, with the people I loved the most as I should. I didn't understand the difference between boundaries and consequences, and sometimes when we reward poor behavior. And, you know, you can see that happening in your family life, at the workplace, but then you can see it happening on the national political level as well. So really, as I delved deeper into psychology, what I kind of started to recognize were that in many ways, we hadn't psychologically grown ourselves up. Mm-hmm. And that we needed like basically someone to calmly teach us how to do so, you know, and how to mediate conflict and de-escalate it, which you see happen in marital homes, but you also see on the political stage. You know, how to align needs, how to set boundaries, and how to move to a place of interdependence as opposed to codependence, meaning that your life is not just about one person and you ask that person to fulfill all your needs. You see it that you live in a village and we have lots of different people we need to talk to and relate to and be with. So really, like, you know, the marriage and relationships are just a vehicle for personal self-development.
Yeah.
They're just a spiritual journey that we're taking with someone else as the mirror that like basically is the reflection of us. And so like, you know, the more I understood that, the more I said, oh my gosh, like, you know, really you do have to develop a curriculum in a school that teaches these skills and that destigmatizes that kind of personal transformation.
Absolutely. And, I know, with School of Love, I know you also have a lot of courses, you do a lot of one-on-one work and things like that. Are there some tools that you recommend? You know, I'm sure there's obviously many tools that those listening could maybe start to adapt in their tool belt, maybe even simple things, Monica, they could pause right now and just start to incorporate either whether it's in their own reflection or actually bringing into, their relationships or their marriage or things like that.
Wow, that you asked the best question, Jules. I'm like, Jules was born to be a host. Well, I think a few things, you know, one is I think learning how to set boundaries. You know, even the boundary of saying, no, not now, or I need space. And being able to have a conversation with somebody else where they don't take that personally when you say, I don't want to be with you this week. I want to be by myself. Mm-hmm. You know, because we all are going through an emotional experience, whether that emotional experience is quarantine during a pandemic, you know, a national election that is very stressful given the implications it could have on American democracy. And I think given this emotional experience that's not only collective, but also personal, we have to learn the skills of talking at a higher level of basically telling people around us what we need. And then also, you know, part and parcel with that, when someone can't hear our needs without personalizing it or without escalating conflict, then I think it's time also to look at certain relationships that perhaps we've been carrying around because it feels safe. And asking ourselves, is it really a good use of our time and energy? You know, maybe our time and energy is better spent on other endeavors. So it's really, I think, the process of opening up at deeper levels of intimacy, but also creating boundaries to close that which isn't really serving us anymore. And that could also include, you know, social media or internet time, things that actually can be very depleting energetically.
Yeah, absolutely. I think well said. And I want to take this a step further, which might be controversial for some, but really talk about narcissism and narcissistic abuse. And I know, you know, that that's been something that you've been well versed in, you know, experience wise, and you've shared about. And so, you know, I'd love for you just to share a little bit, like, what does narcissistic abuse or even narcissism, what role does it play in this conversation? And are there some things that you've learned that, you know, are relevant for people to be aware of, whether it's, you know, with relationships, you know, one-to-one or in a broader global conversation?
Yeah. I mean, I think narcissism is, if I was going to say, you know, the one thing that's the pernicious disease in society right now, it's narcissism. And, you know, to me, narcissistic abuse you can see it. Once I saw it in my own personal life, and could extrapolate and see it then in family dynamics, then the next logical leap was the workplace. And then the next logical leap was national politics. And so the way I kind of see that is when someone is always looking for their gain and they don't recognize that relationships are mutual, they're an equal give and take. And so, you know, to me, you know, just talking on the national political scale, when you have political leaders who are openly and notoriously not paying into the tax system, but they're reaping the benefits of the taxpayers' money, that to me feels like a not mutual relationship. That feels to me like narcissistic abuse. Mm-hmm. And it feels to me then that what has to happen is the collective has to kind of wake up that this is abuse and ask themselves, what are they getting out of this relationship? And that, you know, you can see that on a personal level where, you know, like, you know, yesterday I was talking to a woman who was telling me that she had her first date with this gentleman and she lived in a different state. So she basically went to visit him in his state and stayed at his house for 4 days with him on the first date.
Wow.
And what ended up happening was on the second date, he was acerbic with her. Like he started getting real crabby with her and she was picking up that, you know, kind of negative vibe. And she said to me, you know, I think he's a total narcissist. And I said to her, well, you know, the problem with when we look outwards, we sometimes don't look enough inwards. And the inwards look is, was that a good choice to spend 4 days with a stranger? And naturally you're going to get like very flooded, you know, like you're in someone's home and you're out of state and you don't even have an emergency contact around you. Like this is a very loaded interaction for both of you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think the thing is that no one ever said to, you know, I think her before, like you got to start taking some personal accountability, you know, and I can see that on so many levels, including like, you know, I remember when I was working, I totally thought when I was working for other people, I mean, not myself, I'm still working, but when I was working for other people, I worked in the government as a public interest lawyer for 15 years. And I definitely thought the leadership was exceptionally narcissistic, outrageously narcissistic. But I also started to recognize that it was up to me to say, okay, do I think I can change the system from the inside? Do I think that's a good use of my time or energy? Or do I just want to save myself? Mm-hmm. Like, do I just want to say like, you know what, that's going to feel toxic and negative. And ultimately I've learned that narcissists very rarely change and they very rarely ask for help because that's part of their disease. But I certainly don't want to go around it or hang out for even like, I don't care how much you're going to pay me. I just don't want to get beaten up like that anymore. Yeah. You know, like I basically kind of was like, for all of you who want to sit in this and drink this Kool-Aid, like go for it, but that's not for me. So you can see it on so many levels, you know, and it's like, then I think the question is, are we putting ourselves in dangerous situations and do we hang out too long in them knowing that they're not really that good for us emotionally or mentally?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think in a lot of ways, it also, you know, translates to what's happening from a consciousness perspective. You know, I think in the world, and awareness being a big central driver of that. But even if I look at the political landscape without advocating for a certain side explicitly, I think we are at an intersection of consciousness where we are shifting from where we've been, which is very much at times could be like a victim, or I don't have control, or I am just a byproduct of my circumstance, or whatever that might be, to more of, you know, a transcended or empowered place of consciousness based usually on love, where it's like, we are in the driver's seat. We do have choice. There is radical responsibility. And then from that, healing and things can occur. And what role do you see, how do you see consciousness evolving in our planet? And how do you relate, you know, this conversation with narcissism, but primarily even bigger than that, you know, just what's happening? Because I think there's so much that we're not in control of right now, whether it's the election, whether it's the pandemic, whatever it might be. And it can be very easy to just accept or to be, you know, byproduct rather than to allow and see, you know, the bigger picture.
Wow, what a great question. Well, I mean, I think the first thing to do, you know, and I've been struggling up with this myself, right? Given the fact that I'm a lawyer, I'm an American citizen, I love my country. And, you know, on some level, I'm very heartbroken by everything that I'm watching go down. And I'm not just watching it go down here. I travel internationally a lot, and a lot of my clients come from around the world. And the collective thing they keep telling me over and over again is that their economies depend on ours, meaning that, like, we have such a play on the global stage that, you know, then you start looking at your global family and you're like, no, we've got to get this right. And as I'm struggling with all these feelings, you know, one of the things I've kind of had to come to terms with is that sometimes when things fall apart, something new is created from the catalyst of pain. Mm-hmm. And the new that's created has to be better than what came before. You know, we can take my personal life as a great example of that. You know, when my marriage basically destructed, and not only did my marriage, you know, fall apart, my psyche fell apart. You know, the ways I saw the world or the beliefs I had, they couldn't service me anymore because they had brought me to that conclusion. So what had to happen was I had to create a better psychology and a better mind so that conclusion wasn't the one I would come to ever again. And that same thing happens, I think, you know, to your point, I 100% agree with you that we're at the very nascent stages of a global shift in consciousness. And I think that what has to happen is the collective pain point has to get high enough that we begin to basically deconstruct our psyches and our behaviors and act more efficiently. Now, here's the challenge is I think that we need people to coach us through that.
Yeah.
And we need people to calm the anxiety, which unfortunately the fear for profit media and the consistently narcissistic and escalating of conflict driven politicians haven't done a very good job of calming the psyche of all of us around the world. And so I think the really promising opportunity and the thing that I'm most optimistic about is that you are beginning to see the burgeoning classes of new leadership coming who are talking in a completely different language. And I think signaling to one another around the world, it's up to us.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the other thing that's happening that I'm so excited about, because my business has been built on this platform. I started 7 years ago. So my business teaches a curriculum that I've built. It's about a 9-month curriculum. It's taught live. And I have an audience from around the world that takes it. And it was built on a digitalized platform. So, you know, when I see the future, I see the very brave and the most capable actually leading and fixing problems. And they're able to do it in a digitalized fashion. And soon what's going to happen is they're going to be able to move money and around the world through, you know, cryptocurrency or other digitalized banking mechanisms. And basically then you can go wherever you want to go and work. And to me, that's the promise of like a global family. That's the promise of like, hey, you know what? We'll fix this because these systems have become not only redundant, but they're so like rife with greed and corruption and theft and narcissism that honestly, like, it's hard to put your trust in it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think well said in so many different ways. And, you know, I do want to talk about School of Love in just a few seconds here. And Unconventional Lifers, you know, I think the mentorship and the coaching has been so invaluable in my life. You know, without having an outside reflection, I am so, you know, victim to just staying in my crap, for lack of better words at times. And, you know, I get curious, Monica, like you talk about 11 years ago, like, I can only imagine, like, for some people, their husband walks out the door, you never see him again. Like, that could have been, like, end discussion, like, the death of you in so many ways. Like, it could have been crippling. And to, like, then be in that moment, deconstruct, reconstruct, and then ultimately create this, like, thriving business out of it, I would say in a lot of ways is not, you know, the norm. And in so many ways, I think it's a testament to your character. But I think there's so many people going through what feels like unfathomable, like, confrontation or challenge right now in various different ways in their own lives. And so when you look back on that moment, does it, like, how was that for you? Like, what did you even do in the first, like, few weeks and in first few days? Because I think sometimes to even be a part of the conversation, it's like, how do I even deal with what sucks so hard right now in this moment and be so real with it that I can then take the next step and the next step and the next step, such that I can then rebuild and then ultimately thrive? And just curious if you have anything to share about that. And even if you remember that point.
Well, that's such a good question. Yeah. And I want to give your listeners some practical tools, because truth be told, you know, that event with my ex-husband walking out was only one of the many life events I've had that have been beyond challenging. You know, so, you know, I had a 4-year period of time that I called a dark night of the soul, where it was honestly one, like, earth-shattering challenge after another. And, you know, as I was going through it, and I was, like, so humbled, because I literally was on my knees, you know, I was on my knees really begging God, like, why is this happening? And can I make it through? And what I really felt was happening was that I was being called to greater service, and that as I developed tools for myself, I would teach. I felt that so strongly. So here's the thing that I came out of that situation. I'll give your listeners a few tools. First, the most important thing for me was to have a routine in the morning that calmed my anxiety every day. Because really what happens is you don't even know you're anxious. You know, it can feel so normal that you have to start to calm it on a routinized basis, and then you'll start to see when you have it. You'll develop that mindfulness and that awareness. So every single morning when I get up, and this has been my practice now for, I don't know, pretty much my entire adult life, I get up and I exercise first thing in the morning, and I exercise for about an hour, and then I do meditation. And, you know, in the beginning when I meditated, I could only meditate for maybe a couple minutes, and now I can meditate up to 45 minutes or an hour, and I try to do that regularly. And so really what you're doing is you're just calming the mind. You're calming so you can think. Mm-hmm. So that was the first thing I did. The second thing I did was I eliminated all processed food from my diet, because I noticed that a lot of the sugars and the chemicals and the colors, they affected my brain state and my ability of my brain to get to a calm place, because what you're trying to do is get calm so you can think. So that was the second thing I did, is I really tried to create a diet that was, you know, now I'm primarily vegan and I don't drink alcohol, and I eat a really clean diet, because I find that the better I take care of me, so this is the third tip, you can't take care of other people until you take care of yourself. So basically, the better I take care of me, the better I'm able to take care of a lot of people who need me. And I solve relationship problems for, you know, high net worth individuals who have very complicated financial and relationship lives, and they count on me. So, and, you know, I'm a solo entrepreneur, so I don't have a lot of room to misstep. So as part of taking care of me, I also treat myself. So, you know, I get massages, I get, you know, I do infrared saunas so I can sweat out toxins. I take Epsom salt baths regularly. I walk in nature, and I feel nature, and I'm with nature, which is really calming on my nervous system. So that's, you know, a third thing I do. The fourth thing I did was I started to get my money right. Meaning that I really started to, like, you know, just look at income from a lot of different sources, of which work or your conventional job is only one. So I started to, like, put systems in place, and my business helps people do this. Put systems in place to be, see where all my money is, and how much I'm spending and how much my business is bringing in. And then also to learn about the stock market and cryptocurrency and real estate, and really say, like, okay, you know what, if I'm going to teach a burgeoning group of women how to be multimillionaires, I got to get my systems together. So that was a big part of emotional health too, is money. And then, you know, I think I said this earlier, I just shut out a lot of noise. So I don't spend time on social media. I found that it was having a negative effect on my brainwave states, and it was reconditioning my ability to concentrate, and I didn't like that. I turn notifications off on my computer and my phone when I'm working so I can get into longer flow states. I really started to look at all the relationships in my life and my friends, and I said, are some of these people doing the personal transformation work they need to do to meet me at my level as I am growing and changing? And, you know, and some of that was hard. It was, the answer was no. And I realized that those relationships had to be let go of, because I knew that I was going to move onto a bigger platform and I needed to talk in a different way. So that's been some of it. And, you know, a lot of my curriculum I built is to give people the tools to be more productive in less time, but also to calm their anxiety so they can meet a match at their level of vibration, which hopefully is really high.
Yeah, I think so well said. And what a holistic way to incorporate all of those pieces, you know, with ritual and intentionality. And I mean, I've, you know, so many with the diet and the alcohol and the amount of people that I have on the show, it's like there's such a commonality of things that really do set you up from a vibration perspective to allow things to happen more easily, more effortlessly, and then also, you know, with more intentionality. And so I love that. And Unconventional Lifers, we've got a really great giveaway coming up we're going to share about in just a few moments, just after this rapid fire round. But my last question for you, Monica, is with the School of Love, I know we've been talking about it, you've got this curriculum, but what is it all about? And for our listeners, I know you really do integrate a lot of the things that you're talking about in your coaching and in this really revolutionary curriculum. So tell us a little bit about that, and then we're going to jump into the rapid fire round.
Yeah. So mostly when people come to me, they're in states of huge amounts of stress or heartbreak. They've just gone through a horrific divorce. Maybe they're in a relationship, but the relationship isn't working. Maybe the relationship is low sex, or there's financial disparity. And so my job is to figure out how to fix it. And what I have learned in a big part of my curriculum is that basically we meet people at a vibrational level. So when we're not fully conscious, what happens is our subconscious, not our conscious mind, our subconscious mind seeks out partners that resemble our caregivers. So we basically are seeking out our parents, and we're seeking them out for the good, but also the bad. And so what has to happen is you basically have to not only become conscious that you're doing that and the ways that you're doing that, but you have to actually shift your vibration upwards so that that attraction never happens again. You attract from a higher place, and a higher place of greater purpose, but also greater health, emotional, mental, financial, you know, physical. And so a lot of my curriculum is actually just, you know, they're the tools of how do you vibrate at that really, really charismatic level, especially if you are seeking greater leadership. And, you know, many of it is, it's routinized behaviors that we just talked about, like the way we eat and the way we exercise and meditate. But a big part of it that a lot of leaders don't take on is that self-analysis, that exact thing that you were saying of why you love to get coached. It's because someone's basically clearing all the blockages, whether that's subconscious or unconscious or conscious. And a lot of times what I've seen in leaders is they say, well, I can do that myself. You know, I have a lot of clients who are like Ivy League professors, you know, exceptionally intelligent people. And they're like, I don't need that. And I'm like, well, actually, you probably need it more. because sometimes the intellect can basically, you know, hijack the emotional. And those things, they're developed completely distinctly from one another. So a big part of my curriculum is the emotional intelligence. And a huge piece of that is boundaries. So how do we assert boundaries with others? And in doing so, how do we actually take better care of ourselves? And believe it or not, most of my clients, the way I sell that curriculum is it's a lifetime membership. Most of my clients come back into that space year after year because the skills are so difficult to learn. And like I said, I have, you know, high achieving entrepreneurs, CEOs, Ivy League professors. So this is not a unintelligent lot. And they're like, it's really, really hard. And I'm like, it's actually to develop that level of awareness and mindfulness is it is actually incredibly challenging.
Yeah, absolutely.
But in a good way.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to share a little bit more information on the website about a School of Love and how to check that out. But I want to jump into the rapid fire round here. And also Unconventional Lifers, if you've really been enjoying what Monica's been sharing, she's got such a generous giveaway we're going to talk about just after this rapid fire round. So series of lightning questions coming at you, Monica. Are you ready?
Yes, I hope so.
Okay. Question number one, fill in the blank. If you really knew me, you would know what?
I am a neat freak. I love to organize my closet and my drawers, and I do it by Roy G. Biv, which is the prism of the rainbow.
There's that show too. I forget what it's called, and they do that. They go into like the closets and they do it by the colors. That's awesome.
Oh yeah, is that right? I had no idea.
Yeah, it just came out. I can't remember the name of it. I'll have to circle back for it.
Oh, okay.
So. Yeah. Next question. What is one fact that most people would be surprised to know about you?
One fact that people would be surprised. Oh, I'm a painter. Every Sunday I paint, and I hope to one day open up an online gallery for female artists that busts the glass ceiling for how much female artists earn on paintings.
Wow. I love that. I am a musician and artist myself and also love bringing women together. So maybe we have a follow-up.
Let's do it. That would be awesome. That's so radical.
Yeah, so good. And last question for you, Monica, what does living the unconventional life mean to you?
To me, it means freedom. It means giving pardon my French, but it means giving my finger to every system that I feel is just meant to shackle and enslave.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Well said to that. Monica, tell us about the giveaway that you've got for one of the listeners.
So my giveaway is one one-on-one coaching session with me, which I usually charge my clients $2,500 for that. And it's just a one-on-one, bring your hardest problem, and let's work through it and give you a toolkit to go forward. And I'll give you practical to-dos that you can take home and do on your own and hopefully set yourself up for that up-leveling in your romantic and professional life.
Yeah, so, so good. And Conventional Lifers, this woman is such a boss. Please take her up on that offer. Head over to unconventionallifeshow.com to click on the giveaway tab. We will select one of our winners through the website there. And Monica, for those that want to learn more about School of Love, also your work, I know you have different resources and things as well that you offer. What's the best place for people to check you out, follow along, and to stay in touch?
Just go to my website. It's www.schoolofloveNYC.com. And just shoot me an email and say, hey, and how can I help you? And I love to do group presentations and teach about relationship psychology. So, you know, if your budget can't afford my one-on-one, just invite me to speak to a group and I'm happy to help in any way that I can. And I find the work resonates with women in this day and age more than ever.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. We'll throw those links as well on the website at unconventionallifeshow.com. Monica, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us. You are literally a breath of fresh air. Your story is incredible and I love what you're doing in the world. So, so great to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. I had a blast.
Thanks so much, everyone. We'll have more amazing content coming at you all soon.